We're going to spend some time now looking at what it will take to reach an ambitious goal.
By mid-century, we must be carbon neutral.
We are already about 30% towards that carbon neutrality goal.
Carbon-free economy by 2045.
That's Linda Douglas of Bloomberg, Bernard Tyson of Kaiser Permanente, and of course, Nancy Pelosi at a climate summit last fall.
This summer, we'll be exploring what exactly carbon neutral means and whether getting to zero carbon, as some people put it, is even possible. For an introduction to this challenge, we're joined by NPR's Nathan Rott, who covers climate change and the environment. Hey, Nate.
Hey, Ari.
So carbon neutral, zero carbon, carbon free, what do these phrases actually mean? What are we talking about?
So in the most broad and basic terms, the idea is to stop adding carbon dioxide to our atmosphere. CO2 is the chief contributor to climate change, and we're emitting it from all sorts of stuff. Cars, our planes, industry, power plants. World scientists are telling us that we basically have until 2050, mid-century, to get all of our carbon emissions to net zero if we hope to avoid the worst impacts of climate change.
What would those worst impacts look like?
Look, we're already seeing some of these effects. Increases in sea level rise, human displacement, endangered food supplies, economic losses, spread of disease.
I get the idea. So high stakes and tight timeline, is it even possible to get to zero carbon by the middle of the century in just a few decades?
So you're going to get a range of answers from people on that question in the energy world. On one far end, you have folks like Mark Jacobson, a professor at Stanford University, who says it is very doable. He's even drawn up plans for more than 130 countries to do just that. But other scientists and energy analysts are going to tell you that it's going to be very, very difficult politically, technologically, economically. You know, we may even have to find ways to pull carbon out of our atmosphere.
What are the costs that we're talking about here? I mean, how expensive would it be to get the world carbon neutral?
It would be very expensive, you know, trillions of dollars here in the U.S. alone. Though a lot of people would argue that any cost we pay now will be far cheaper than paying for the cost of climate change down the road. But, you know, what strikes me with this whole idea is just how much of our day-to-day lives would need to change to truly be carbon-free or carbon neutral. So to give you an idea, I just walked around my apartment earlier to see how many parts of it are powered by carbon-emitting fossil fuels.
So you have the oven, natural gas, the hot water heater, my dryer, natural gas.
So you add to that my heater, my gas-powered car, the airplanes that you and I both take to do reporting trips, Ari. All of that would need to change.
So cities and states have made an effort to get to zero carbon. Big companies are promising to do the same. We're going to hear about some of that later this summer. Would those be enough to bring about the kind of change that you're talking about?
No. That's because most of the efforts that we're talking about are just trying to take on one piece of the larger greenhouse gas emissions pie, and that is electricity. We've seen six states or territories and more than 100 American cities commit to getting 100% of their electricity from renewable or clean energy sources. Think solar, wind, hydro, in some cases nuclear. And, you know, look, that would be really big if they can accomplish that. But electrical generation only accounts for 28% of the total emissions in the U.S. So energy economists, policy academics you talk to, they'll tell you that the best way to cut emissions across all sectors will be to put something in place like a carbon tax.
We've heard about a carbon tax for years, and Congress hasn't acted on it. Under the Trump administration, that seems even more politically unrealistic.
Yeah, I mean, most folks will tell you that a carbon tax right now is not politically feasible. These zero carbon plans from cities, states, businesses that we're talking about are feasible in some places, and that's why we're seeing them. I talked to Leah Stokes, who studies climate policy and these zero carbon efforts at the University of California, Santa Barbara. And she says that, look, these efforts will help cut emissions, but
climate change is already happening. We are already seeing impacts like forest fires and drought and heat waves. And we need to be moving faster.
And look, we're going the wrong way. Emissions from the U.S. are up. BP came out with a report that found global carbon emissions actually grew last year at their fastest rate since 2011.
Wow, that's NPR's Nathan Rott kicking off our exploration of what it would take to get to zero carbon emissions. Thanks, Nate.
Thank you, Ari.